Let's turn into the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to begin reading in chapter 4 and read on into chapter 5. So we begin at Luke chapter 4 verse 40 and we read on into chapter 5 and to verse 11. And our text this afternoon is from those first 11 verses of Luke chapter 5. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. The fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nonetheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, prayers that the Lord would open our eyes to what is being revealed by the Holy Spirit here in this passage of the Word of God. The text this evening is those verses, first 11 verses of Luke chapter 5. This miracle here in Luke 5 is only recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Nonetheless, it's not the only place in the scripture though that deals with the subject of calling men to be fishers of men. For example, in Mark chapter 1, in verses 16 through 20, we read there of how that Jesus, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw Simon and Andrew as they cast a net into the sea. And on that occasion, Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And we're told then that straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And then when he had gone a little further there, we are told also that he saw James and John, and straightway he called them also, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. That same incident is also recorded in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 4 and the verses 18 through 22. Now, although the events recorded in Matthew and Mark bear some similarities to the one recorded here in Luke, there are also marked differences which suggest that the events were not one and the same. A closer examination of the two different accounts reveals that the events not only differ as to content, but they differ also as to purpose. In Matthew and Mark, the focus is upon Jesus' calling of Peter, James and John to become fishers of men. However, here in Luke's Gospel, the focus is not so much upon the calling of his disciples to be fishers of men, though that's part of what we read here, but the focus is more upon the manner in which they were to pursue that calling. And we'll come to explain what I mean by that in a little while. The miracle recorded in our text was designed, you see, to instruct Peter, James and John as to how they were to go about the task of fishing for men. And it was designed also to encourage them in that work. Now, those two things are actually on the foreground of this passage of the Word of God. At this point in time, Peter, James and John needed instruction as regards the work of being fishers of men. You might say, well, why was that particularly? Well, we know from John chapter 1 that following their initial meeting with Jesus, Peter, James and John, along with Andrew, had begun to follow him. In other words, they left their occupation as fishermen and they'd gone to follow after Jesus Christ. They believed that they had found the Messiah, and so they followed after him. But their following of Jesus, it seems, was short-lived. Scripture does not disclose altogether why that was the case. Nonetheless, the outcome was that Peter, James and John, along with Andrew, had actually ceased following Jesus and had returned to Galilee and to their former work as fishermen. And it was there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, following an unsuccessful night of fishing, that Jesus comes again and he performs this miracle and again calls them to engage in the work of being fishers of men. Through this miracle, Jesus called Peter, James and John back to the work of fishing for men, to the work of calling men to faith and repentance in and through Jesus Christ. And here Jesus called these men to the work of what we might describe as the work of evangelism, to the work of proclaiming and disseminating the good news of the gospel, to the work of the gathering in of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. From this time on, this was to be these men's life's work, no longer fishermen, but fishers of men. And brethren, this remains the calling of every believer today. It's the calling of the Church of Jesus Christ, but it's the calling also of every believer. If you're a believer, this is your calling also. It's a calling to be fishers of men. Jesus says to the New Testament church, and he says to us as a congregation this evening, he says to each one of us this evening, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I want to look at this word of God in this evening under this theme, launch out and let down your net. Firstly, the surprising command. Secondly, the astounding catch. And thirdly, the striking response are the divisions I've given to the sermon this evening. The surprising command, the astounding catch, and the striking response. It's not accidental that this miracle involving an extraordinary haul of fish was set against the backdrop of Jesus' teaching of a large body of people who were eagerly waiting upon his ministry. Shortly before this, as indicated in Luke chapter 4, Jesus had been preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. And the result was, as we're told in Luke chapter 4 and verse 37, that the fame of him went out into every place of the country and round about. In Jesus, the people recognized a teacher who knew and understood the scriptures. He was also a teacher who spoke with authority. And moreover, he possessed not only a knowledge of the scriptures, but he also possessed power to heal the sick and the diseased and even to cast out devils. Possessed with those qualities and gifts, naturally, Galilee was abuzz with the news of Jesus Christ's ministry. And so consequently, people came from all over Galilee and further afield to hear him teach and to witness his miracles. Vast numbers waited upon his ministry. Wherever he went, the people flocked to hear him. With the result, as revealed in verse 1 of our text, the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. As verse 1 also tells us, This occurred by the Lake of Gennesaret, or as is more commonly known, the Sea of Galilee. Just for information, say Gennesaret was the more ancient name given to the sea, taken from a small territory or plain of that name that lay on the western shores of that body of water. Now, as we mentioned the Sea of Galilee, it ought to be noted that the Sea of Galilee was, of course, where Peter, James, and John earned their living as fishermen. Consequently, and this is relevant to us, consequently, they were very familiar with the waters of Galilee. Those who gathered on the shore to hear Jesus were eagerly awaiting his words. But the size of the crowd was so great that it was impossible for Jesus to easily address them and certainly to be heard by them. The press of the people, in fact, was so great that it was somewhat a chaotic scene there on the shores of Galilee. Confronted by that situation, Jesus noticed two fishing boats that were moored close to the shore. The boats in question belonged to Simon Peter, James, and to John. Peter, James, and John, as we are told here in Luke chapter 5, had only recently returned to shore following a night of fishing. As it turned out, it had been a fruitless night of fishing. At that time that Jesus approached them, Peter, James, and John, in fact, were in the process of cleaning and stowing their nets. Verse 3 of our text also informs us that then Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and asked him to push the boat a small distance from the shore. And thereupon Jesus sat down in that boat and then proceeded to use the boat like a stage or platform from which he was able to teach the vast multitude gathered on the shore. It was when Jesus had finished speaking to the multitude that he issued a somewhat surprising directive or command to Peter. That's verse 4. He says to him, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or for a catch." Jesus' command to Peter was surprising on a number of levels. Firstly, on account of the authority and confidence with which he actually spoke. That he should speak with such confidence was surprising, given that Jesus himself was not a fisherman. He was a carpenter by trade. And so one might have thought that Jesus would have known very little, actually, about fishing itself. Nonetheless, he directs Peter to launch out into the deep and to let down his nets for a draught or for a catch of fish. Peter, on the other hand, of course, was a professional fisherman. He earned his living catching fish. Indeed, he earned his living by fishing the waters of Galilee. Bear also in mind that the day was now well advanced, so the men had come in after a night's fishing and they'd been cleaning their net, and so the day was moving along. And the conventional wisdom was that the best time for fishing was, in fact, at night. Nonetheless, here Jesus calls upon them to push out and to let down their nets. Furthermore, what makes Jesus' command somewhat astounding is also the fact that Peter, along with James and John, had actually fished all the previous night, but they'd actually caught nothing. That's verse 5. "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." These experienced fishermen had spent the whole of the night fishing those same waters, but they'd come up empty-handed. And yet Jesus issues this command, coupled with the confident assertion that they would catch fish. Notice that Jesus' command, too, was not couched in terms of the hopeful possibility of catching fish, but it was issued with the implied assurance that if they would launch out into the deep and let down their nets, they would unquestionably catch fish. It would have been interesting, I think, to have been privy to Peter's thinking at this time when Jesus issued this command. It's not difficult to imagine something of what may have been thought by Peter, given the response of Peter to Jesus' direction, because Peter's response to Jesus reflects a note of reluctance on his part. Though respectful, Peter's response was certainly not one of overly enthusiastic. Indeed, it betrayed a note of irritation and a sense of futility. Understandably, Peter was not keen to cast out the nets that he just cleaned and stowed. Furthermore, he was an experienced fisherman. He and his colleagues knew the waters of the Sea of Galilee intimately. They knew how to fish, they knew when to fish, and they knew where to fish. The Sea of Galilee was their workplace, and they had worked hard the previous night to catch fish, but without success. Why was that? Why had they fished all night? Why had they caught nothing? Well, the reason was obvious, at least so far as Peter was concerned. It was because there was no fish to be caught. But now, having just finished cleaning their nets and being undoubtedly tired, Jesus calls upon them to launch out again and to cast out their nets. To Peter, James and John, and no doubt to those watching, none of this made a great deal of sense. The expectation was that to launch out and to cast out the nets would in fact prove to be an exercise in futility. There was no fish to be caught. They'd established that the previous night. They'd fished in the usual places. They'd fished where they usually caught fish. But despite their best endeavours, they had not been able to catch any fish. Now, brethren, in order to appreciate the import of this miracle, we must catch the sense of frustration and futility that Peter would have felt and experienced when confronted by this command of Jesus Christ. And to do that, perhaps the easiest way to do it is to put ourselves in Peter's place. It made no sense to Peter to go fishing in the middle of the day when he had caught nothing the previous night. And furthermore, he just cleaned his nets. To cast out the nets simply to him did not make any sense. It seemed a completely pointless exercise, a waste of time and energy. All it would do would involve him ultimately in more work. Now, Jesus' command was contrary to Simon Peter's better judgment. Notice that it would seem that out of respect for Jesus, he launched out and cast out his nets. He says there in verse 5, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." In effect, Simon Peter was saying, "Well, Lord, I know that this will be a complete waste of time, but nonetheless, because you ask, I will do it." But also implied in this was this: you should also know, though, that it's going to prove to be a monumental waste of time. You see, Peter had no confidence whatsoever that any fish would be caught. He simply did this because of his relationship to Jesus Christ. In his mind, his knowledge on the subject of fishing was superior to that of Jesus. He obeyed, but he only obeyed because it was Jesus who gave the direction. If it had been anyone other than Jesus, Peter would not have launched out and let down the nets. Brethren, therein lies the purpose and significance of this miracle, both for Peter and for you and for me. Peter had to learn to be obedient to the word of the Lord, even when what Jesus commanded flew in the face of Peter's own knowledge, judgment, and wisdom. And in fact, even when it flew in the face of Peter's own experience. Peter had to learn to lay aside his own knowledge, his own judgment, his own wisdom, and even his own experience in order to become a fisher of men. He had to subjugate his own knowledge and judgment to the knowledge and judgment of Jesus Christ. He had to set aside the conventional accepted wisdom, the wisdom of men, and implicitly obey the word of Jesus Christ. This was in fact a test of Peter's faith and obedience. Would he obey the command of Jesus? Would he comply, notwithstanding that what Jesus called him to do was completely contrary to Peter's own judgment and wisdom? You see, all this was preparatory. Preparatory that Peter might catch men. The connection between this miracle and the fishing for men is made plain by verse 10 of our text. There you read, "And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Peter was to be a fisher of men. He was to be instrumental in the salvation of others. He was to be used of the Lord to gather men and women into the kingdom, to reveal to them the beauty and the grace of Jesus Christ. He was to drop down the net. He was to call men and women into the kingdom. He was to drop down the net of the word of God, to drop down the net of the gospel. The very same net, of course, that Jesus himself had cast into the crowd gathered there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. But in order for Peter to be a fisher of men, there was one fundamental lesson he had to learn. And the fundamental lesson was that to catch men, he had to engage in that work as directed by Jesus Christ. He had to be obedient to the word of the Lord, even if that word did not make any sense to him, even if it appeared to him to be contrary to reason or to fly in the face of his own judgment. Peter had to be prepared to lay aside his own wisdom and the wisdom of men. He had to implicitly obey the voice of Jesus Christ. He had to fish as directed by Jesus Christ. The reason that Peter needed to learn that lesson was because fishing for men defies human logic and reason. Brethren, like Peter, you and I are also called to be fishers of men. Some are called to be fishers of men, and they're called to be ministers of the gospel, and hence they are to engage in the preaching and teaching of the word. And that's not the calling of all of us, but nonetheless all of us are also called to be fishers of men, and that we're called to witness to others of the grace of God as to be found in Jesus Christ. We're to tell others of the way of salvation. We're to point them to Jesus Christ. We're to call them to repentance and faith. Recall what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, in the verses 14 through 16. He says, "Ye," speaking about believers, he says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Brethren, that's our calling. That's our calling as Christian men and women, Christian boys and girls, as believers. As believers, you and I are called to let down the net of the word of God, the net of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by that means we are to seek to be used of Jesus Christ to draw men into the kingdom. We are to be fishers of men. As was the case with Peter, there will be times when we're disinclined to let down the net, and we'll conclude that to do so will be a complete futility. when our assessment is that there are no fish to be caught, perhaps because our experience tells us that someone who perhaps dresses like that, or who looks like that, or who lives like that, or who speaks like that, our experience might tell us that such one would never be open to the gospel. Or that someone who adopts those attitudes could never possibly change and will never respond positively to the gospel. Or it may be that we are ourselves weary. Life is busy, work has been busy, family life has been demanding. And really, all we want is peace and quiet. And so the thought of being a fisher of men is an onerous task. As a result, on account of our own knowledge, judgment, wisdom, perhaps even experience, we're disinclined to let down the net. But then how often do we do that? We rationalise away our responsibility to be those who are fishers of men. We conclude that others will not listen. They won't respond to the gospel, and so we think to ourselves, well, why bother? Why proclaim the gospel? Why speak to others about Jesus Christ? It's just going to prove to be futile. Perhaps even we think to ourselves, I've done it before. I've seen the response. It's yielded no fruit. So what's the point of doing it again? Now this, brethren, if Peter had not been obedient to Jesus' command, if he had not launched out and let down his nets, he would never have caught the enormous raft of fish. Peter had to drop down those nets in order to catch the fish. He had to be obedient to the directive of Jesus Christ. He had to use the means. Likewise, we will never catch men if we do not cast out the net, if we don't engage with others, if we don't proclaim to them the gospel. The truth is, brethren, we need to engage with others. We need to speak to others about Jesus Christ. We need to befriend them. We need to bring them under the preaching of the Word of God. We need to cast out the net. This is the God-ordained means for gathering men and women into the kingdom. It's not the only means, but it is one of the fundamental means by which men and women are gathered into the kingdom. And the command of Jesus Christ comes to us all this evening, brethren, to launch out and let down the net. That's our calling. And that is what we will do if we would be fishers of men. The catch that Peter achieved when he dropped down the net was, of course, nothing less than astounding. We read that in verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. The net that Peter cast out was filled with fish. So many fish that the net, in fact, was stretched to the point of breaking. There's so many fish in the net that one boat couldn't handle them. And so we find that Peter seeks the assistance of others to handle this enormous catch. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink, we're told in verse 7. Who would have ever anticipated that letting down the net at that time and in that place would have resulted in such a catch? Certainly Peter never contemplated that possibility. Peter's own knowledge, his judgment, his wisdom, his experience indicated that to let down the net at that time and in that place would prove to be a complete futility. But the reality was that Jesus Christ was wiser, far, far wiser than Peter. And brethren, the same applies to you and to me. Jesus Christ is far, far wiser than you and me. We might think it's a futility to proclaim the gospel, to speak to others of Jesus Christ, and so we restrain from doing so. But the truth is that our knowledge, our judgment, our wisdom, our experience is not to be compared to that of Jesus Christ. And so though we may be hesitant, even reluctant to drop down the net, and it may be our estimation that there are no fish to be caught, and perhaps it is, we say to ourselves, we've done it all before and we've caught nothing. We need to hear and heed the command of Jesus Christ. That's a command that comes to us as a church, it comes to us as a congregation, and it comes to us as believers. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. In other words, teach, preach, witness, speak of Jesus Christ. Confess your faith in him. Acknowledge his importance in your life. Convey to others the beauty of Jesus Christ for yourself, of your trust and confidence in him. Let your light shine. Point others to Jesus Christ. Call men and women to repentance and faith. Fish utilizing the word of God. Use the word of God as the tool by which men and women are brought into the kingdom. Pray that God would be pleased to apply that word to the hearts and minds of men and women. As Paul declares in Romans 1 and verse 16, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believes. Note also the astounding nature of the catch lies not only in the number of fish that were caught, but in the way that those fish were actually caught. It's worth asking, how did all those fish come together in that one area, and moreover at that very point in time when Peter let down his net? This was a demonstration of the sovereign power of Jesus Christ. Lord over all things. Lord over the fish that inhabited the Sea of Galilee. What's clear here is that Jesus Christ directed and gathered the fish together and caused them to enter into Peter's net, so that when he said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, he knew assuredly that Peter would actually catch a draught of fish. There's no doubt that Peter would catch fish because Jesus had prepared and gathered the fish to that very place. The same, brethren, is true when we fish for men. We don't draw men into the net. They're not drawn into the net by our charisma, nor by our persuasiveness, nor by our oratory skills. Not drawn into the net on account of our theological or intellectual abilities. This is not our doing. It's not our work. It's the work of God. It's the work of the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that gathers men into the net. He's the one who works in the hearts of men and women. He's the one who changes the hearts of men and women and makes them open to the truth of the gospel. He's the one that enlightens the mind. He's the one that makes men and women receptive to the gospel. It's the Spirit of God that draws men and women into the net. He's the one that brings them under the word. He's the one that gives them a new heart. He's the one that supplies them with the gift of faith. He's the one that causes men and women to believe and embrace Jesus Christ. Nonetheless, as believers, we have a role to play, and our role is to let down the net. That's the role that we're actually privileged to play. It was not because Peter was a skilled fisherman that he caught that great haul of fish, nor do we catch men because we are skilled fishers of men. The catch is the work of God, it's the work of the Spirit of God. God, by His Spirit, draws men unto Jesus Christ. And it's for that reason that the catch is assured. It's assured because the catch is actually not down to us. Every man, woman, and child that God purposes to save is drawn into the net by the Spirit of God. In other words, the catch is not dependent upon you or upon me. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What are we? We are simply instruments in the hands of God. And like Peter, our calling is to launch out into the deep and let down the net at the instruction and the direction of Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, if we were to consistently do that, perhaps we too might be astounded by the catch. You say, I don't think so. Launch out and let down the net. The response of Peter to this miracle was striking. Verses 8 and 9. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. What we see here is that when Peter sees the astounding draught of fish, he's ashamed. Depart from me, he says, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Why does he say that? It's because of his lack of faith, because of his unbelief. He thought that when Jesus had commanded him to do, to launch out and to let down the net, it was a complete waste of time, it was a futility. And here Peter acknowledges his mistake. His falling down before Jesus was in fact an act of deepest humiliation and abasement. He acknowledged that by his actions, his utter unworthiness to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ. And he grasped something of the enormous gulf as between himself and the Lord. Simon Peter, a sinful, doubting, unbelieving, cynical man, Jesus, the Almighty, all-knowing Son of God. Brethren, so often, we're like Peter. We are sinful, doubting, unbelieving, cynical men and women. And we are that when it comes often to launching out into the deep and letting down the net. You do well to remember what Jesus said to Peter. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. What is it that we fear when it comes to launching out into the deep and letting down the net? What is it we fear? Perhaps we fear our own inadequacies, we fear our lack of ability, perhaps we fear our lack of knowledge, perhaps we fear that we'll be embarrassed by doing so, perhaps we'll fear to be rejected. But here Jesus Christ says, fear not, do not be afraid. Launch out into the deep and let down your net, and from henceforth you shall catch men. And then we read in verse 11, And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Then and there, immediately Peter, James, and John engaged in the work of catching men. They forsook all. They left their livelihoods as fishermen. No longer were they fishermen, but they were to become fishers of men. The indication here is that nothing was more important that they should engage in the work that the Lord Jesus Christ called them to do. They were to launch out into the deep, they were to let down their nets, and they were to be used of the Lord to catch men. Instruments in the salvation of men and women. Brethren, let me leave you with this thought this evening. Could there be any more important or more glorious work in which any of us could ever be engaged? Amen. Let's stand for a brief word of prayer. Lord, we know that we ought to be those who are fishers of men. We ought to speak to others of that faith that we have in Jesus Christ, to tell them of the sweetness of the gospel, of their need of salvation, and their need of the forgiveness of their sins. And at times, perhaps, Lord, we do engage in that work, but other times we're hesitant. Like Peter, we think it's not going to work. It will be a waste of time. And so we are reluctant to engage in the launching out and the letting down of our nets. Perhaps it is because we fear what men will say, what they'll think of us, how they'll respond to us. Perhaps it's because we fear that we don't have the gifts, the abilities, and that we'll make a fool of ourselves. But Lord, our calling as those in whom the Spirit of God has worked, our calling is to be those who actually proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to witness to him. We're to tell others of the good news of the gospel and to seek to bring them into a living knowledge with Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, may this word of God speak to us and stir us up in our work and labour in the kingdom. This we pray for our Lord's sake. Amen.